Hello, everyone. My name is Lydia, and you're listening to All Access Pass Season 5, the summer edition on CITR 101.9 FM. On Zoom, I am joined by my Accessibility Collective teammate, Monica.
Today, we will be airing an interview with documentary filmmaker Sam Vint about his recent film, The Tournament.
Sam Vint is a Métis filmmaker from Winnipeg whose experience in the industry extends through research, sound, and camera work. He did research for the APTN show The Medicine Line, the National Film Board docudrama We Were Children, and the upcoming APTN show Going Native. Currently, Sam is writing and directing documentaries, most recently Alice and Kevin, The Ken Plowen Way, and of course, The Tournament, which follows the Manitoba Sledgehammers at their annual tournament.
So the sport featured in this documentary is sledge hockey, and I'm sure most of you who are Canadian would know what ice hockey is, but you might not know what sledge hockey is and what makes it so unique. Sledge hockey, also known as para hockey, has all of the same rules and premise as regular ice hockey, but with a twist. The players sit on sleds with blades attached to the bottom of their seats and use two ice hockey sticks to complete all of the hockey maneuvers, like shooting, passing, and handling the puck.
Nearly all of the players on the sledge hockey team have physical challenges. Isaac, the star of the documentary, has spina bifida, which can lead to mobility complications below the midsection. Now, success at sledge hockey hinges on upper body strength and agility rather than leg strength, making it a great option for anyone who wants to rely on chest and arm muscles to navigate the ice and win hockey games.
And one thing we wanted to note that wasn't mentioned explicitly in the interview with Sam and Isaac was where this exciting tournament actually took place. The tournament featured in the documentary took place at the Super Rink, located in the National Sports Center in Blaine, Minnesota. It's a huge 600-acre complex and also quite a popular tourist attraction. The Super Rink is also the largest ice arena in the world.
And on that note, let's hear from Sam Vint.
My name is Sam Vint. I am a filmmaker from Manitoba. I work in the TV and film industry where I do a number of different roles. I'm production managing a series right now and hoping to direct more documentary in the not too distant future. The tournament features a rather huge tournament in the United States called the Hendrickson Hockey Festival, which takes place at the National Ice Sports Center or something to that effect. It just changed the name. It is the largest ice hockey facility in the world. And it's over the course of a weekend where there is multiple tournaments, but we feature on a novice level sledge hockey.
And so what made you want to make a film about sledge hockey?
Although I am Canadian, I'm not a hockey person, and I never really played when I was younger, so I hadn't thought too much about it, but my son was interested in playing team sports, and he was 3 years old, and he was really, really focused on that. It was a daily discussion that we had, and so we started looking for something that he could do at that age, although, you know, at three, I mean, for able-bodied kids, I think there's basically just soccer, so I didn't really think there was anything, and we discovered sledge hockey, so we went down to the arena to see a game, and immediately felt the embrace of the community and saw the amazing sport and its effect on the kids. And as I've been saying in a couple other interviews, we walked into the arena looking for a sport, and we came out as members of a community.
Mm-hmm. One of the really wonderful parts of the film is you can see how everyone is really warm to each other, even during the trash talk.
Oh, it's, you know, parasport has been a real eye-opener for me. I've been involved in sports my entire life, coaching and playing and that. And the true ideal of sports is you don't see it that often, but you do in parasports, you know, where everybody's pulling for each other and they tend to wait for the slow kid. They don't just leave them in the dust.
All right. So for our listeners who don't know, you actually have several works, right? The Tournament, We Were Children, and Alice and Kevin. And in all of these works, children, they figure prominently. So why center your film work on children's experiences?
Well, it's interesting. We Were Children is about residential schools, and that's, I was a researcher on that one. So that was just children that were in residential schools, basically. I don't know. It's odd, but I like kids as a father. And I just, well, with the tournament, like, they're all very specific reasons for each of them, but mm-hmm. the tournament was, this is a world that most people don't get to see. And it's not just disability, it's children or with challenges. And it's, to me, it's the ideal of documentary is to go into a world that you wouldn't normally be a part of and get a look at it. And that's what we were hoping to do with the tournament.
The way we sort of get into this world where the there's a lot of sort of roving shots and the camera gets right up in there on the ice. Can you talk a bit about how you manage these? Did you have multiple cameras?
We had one fantastic cameraman. Was what we had, but I think it was part of going into the documentary. I think it's one of the selling points that really made the NFB want to make the movie was we wanted the camera on the ice and we wanted it at eye level with the kids. Mm-hmm. And if you notice in the movie, there's a lot of headless adults that you don't hear or see. It's the camera. It's all about kids in the movie. Really, the only adults you see featured at all are the coach and my wife Trish. And that was a big part of the movie. We wanted to spend a weekend with the kids, but from their point of view.
Did you have people out on the ice during the games, or like how did that work?
Yeah, that was really interesting. Actually, the people who put on the tournament, or it's the Hendrickson Hockey Foundation. They're a pretty amazing organization in Minnesota. Very hockey oriented. The Hendricksons are a longstanding Minnesota hockey family. The patriarch Larry, who started the foundation and the festival, was the unofficial strength coach for the 1980 U.S. Olympic team, which is the Miracle on Ice team. His kid, some of his kids played for the Wild professionally, and he's unfortunately he passed the year the documentary was filmed, and so we wanted to just bring people a look at that and just see the tournament.
Yeah, so in the film, you said that once a year, talking about the players, that they get to be in the majority. So this tournament, it's the one time per year where they are in the majority. Could you elaborate a bit more about what you mean?
Yeah, so the hockey festival there's like 1,000 participants. There's blind hockey, there's hockey for veterans who were injured. There's a couple of divisions of sled hockey, as they call it in the States. And so when we go there, and it's really there's a couple of things that really stick out. When you go there, like my son's in a wheelchair, but so are almost half the people there have some sort of mobility device that they're using, which in effect makes it almost invisible. They go from a world where my son's the only person in his school with a wheelchair, and he's in many situations where he's the only person in a wheelchair, and he gets stared at a lot. And when you go to Henderson, the Hendrickson Festival, that doesn't happen. It's completely different, and there's lots of other people in wheelchairs, and there's a level of comfort there that these guys don't get a chance at very often.
Yeah, I noticed that sort of movement figures really prominently here. Like, a lot of attention is given to how Isaac sort of transitions between forms of transportation, between like the car seat and the wheelchair, the hockey, the ice, pool.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little more about why you included those parts?
Yeah, well, there's multiple reasons, but I think we wanted to show, what his life is like in doing this, and how, it's not our regular ideal, but it's not that big an obstacle for him. And we wanted to show exactly what ice hockey gives somebody like Isaac, and he goes from a world that is not built for him, where a stare can completely change his plans and undo what he's doing, and where it's a little tougher to get around, and then he gets on the ice and he is in complete control. He can fly, he can turn, he can do he's hyper mobile on the ice, as opposed to what it's like off the ice.
Yeah, I noticed there was a lot of, like, both in the pool, like, the parallel between the sort of ice motion and the pool motion became really apparent through that.
Yeah, well, you know, the pool part, and I don't know, you know, when you make a documentary, you make a script beforehand, and you're basically predicting or guessing at what's going to happen. And the pool, the year that we ended up filming the tournament, there we only had 9 players, and usually we'd have 12 to 15 kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we'd be in a hotel, like the first year we went to a tournament, everybody was in the same hotel, every team. And the pool was just unbelievable. Like there's, you know, siblings carrying around their, you know, brothers or sisters that had missing limbs, and kids crawling all over the place because they have mobility issues. And it was just tons of them, and it was pure joy, and it was just wall to wall kids, and it was just such a sight, you know. And I remember being at the hotel, and people who didn't realize that we were all in there would walk into the pool room, look for a moment, and then turn around and leave because they just didn't know how to handle what they were seeing. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the year we did it, there was a lot less activity. So it turned out to be a nice part, kind of a slow down part of the documentary where you could see, like, you know, Isaac and Alyssa and Cooper in the pool together and interacting that way. And it's another kind of equalizing environment, you know, where kids with mobility issues aren't so far behind their friends who don't have mobility issues.
Mm-hmm. What's next on my list? Oh, I wanted to talk about Isaac and Danny Lilla and their conversation. I thought that was a really, like, just a highlight of the movie, how they had that conversation and how excited Isaac was.
It was such a happy accident. That relationship is a short documentary in and of itself. It's the very first year we went to a tournament, Isaac was 4. It was in Fargo, North Dakota, and Danny was playing for the Minnesota team. And the Minnesota sledge hockey team and Manitoba sledge hockey team both kind of started at the same time and have played each other a bunch. They're kind of our main rivals, but we also appreciate them a great deal. And they're a very classy organization. So we're at the tournament. Obviously, they didn't quite have enough kids for a team, so they had a couple of older kids, such as Danny, who was an exceptional sledge hockey player. And we'd heard about this player. He was on the junior national team. He was really good, but he was just playing defense, and all he'd do was keep the puck in their end. He wouldn't shoot it. He was trying not to engage too much since there was a lot of lower-level players. And the third period of the last game, the puck came back to him, and you could tell he'd been holding back for so long. He just wanted to take a shot. And he hit a top corner from the blue line that Isaac and I just looked at each other. Like, from that moment on, Isaac thought that Danny could roll on water. Like, he was just an amazing guy. And then, as a complete coincidence would turn out, Isaac is very interested in football. And we had the conversation about if he could play football. And I said that it would be very difficult, but we can talk to somebody. And I wasn't sure that it would be possible. And then he came out of his room one day. He's like, Dad, do you think I could be a pinner on the football team? And I was like, well, that's a really good idea, actually. We should look into that. But I'm not 100% sure. And he had a YouTube video, which he threw directly into my face. And he was like, well, what about this? And it's Danny Lilia, who was the pinner on his high school football team. And eventually went to the Minnesota Vikings practice and pinned for them. And they gave him Super Bowl tickets. So that just increased, you know, like Danny and Isaac's eye, if that was even possible. And then when we're down filming the tournament, I was kind of running around getting everything set up for the start of a game. And I was running behind the Minnesota bench, and I noticed one of the coaches had the name Lilia on his sleeve. And I asked if he was Danny's dad. He said, yep. He said, my son would love to talk to him. And then we got that conversation. And it's really, that conversation got a little R-rated. Isaac and Danny are both what I would categorize as bad boys in the nicest way, but there's a lot of it that we cut out, and it is so funny. It was hard not to include it in the movie. Mm-hmm. But Isaac, he asks him about swearing on the ice and talking trash and drinking. it was a great conversation.
Okay, well, I know that I learned a lot by watching this film. First, I had no idea what sledge hockey was before watching it, and I thought it was, like, really cool to see, like, how the games go, how the tournaments work, and just the experiences of kids playing sledge hockey. Is there anything that you learned by making and producing the film?
Well, I don't know if I learned it, but it certainly reinforced a few things, like a good camera person, a good editor, and good music makes a huge difference. And we had essentially finished what the picture looked like, and we still weren't very happy with the music. And luckily, a woman named Alicia Smith was producing the documentary for the National Film Board, and she is an incredible filmmaker, and suggested local Winnipeg rock superstars, John K. Sampson and Jason Tate, formerly of the Weaker Thens, and Christine Fellows. And they came in and just, it really changed the documentary, you know. And I think of the first time I looked at it with their soundscape attached, like there were parts that just had so much more impact because of the music. And I think it's, like just having a great team sure makes the director's job a lot easier. I'd say it's pretty unfair the amount of credit that I would get for this film, considering something awesome artists have worked on this and made it far better than I could have myself. I mean, editors have such a huge impact on what you see. And, you know, the camera work speaks for itself on the ice. Like, you're not going to, there isn't another sledge hockey movie with that kind of camera work. And then the music. I mean, we were actually, for the final dance scene, we were attempting to license a Justin Timberlake song. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't come down enough for us to use it. So we had the original song done by our team, and they just knocked it out of the park. It's so much better than it would have been with the more popular song. And it's just such a unique and wonderful part of the documentary. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are you hoping that sort of audiences walk away thinking or feeling from this?
Well, again, some of the initial stuff we wrote about it and pitching the documentary, you have somebody like Isaac, who he's now 10, but you know, he's been a cute little guy in a wheelchair in public a lot, and he gets stared at a lot. Mm-hmm. And those stares are very sympathetic, and you know, like a lot of that poor guy kind of look. And mm-hmm. and what we were hoping we'd come across is that is not what most of these kids are. They don't want your sympathy, and they don't need it. They are just trying to be kids, and given the opportunity, you know, they can be as, you know, competitive or petty or wonderful, or, you know, like they're just kids trying to get out and have as normal a life as possible.
Could you explain to us and our listeners on your preference to speak about people as living with physical challenges as opposed to other terms?
Yeah, it's funny. I just got asked about that yesterday. I find the term disability doesn't really work in all cases. And with some people, like my son, who's, you know, very strong upper body, he's differently able. And and because he's born without full function in his legs, he has developed other abilities that are beyond what any kid his age can do. So I think he is differently abled for sure, you know. And I just find that sometimes disability is kind of diminishing, and I don't care for the term that much.
So I guess we touched on this a little bit, but sledge hockey itself, are there like sports culture things that are different for sledge hockey? You've talked about how sort of uniquely community oriented it is. Is there anything else?
Well, it depends on as you get into it. It's interesting. Like, I think in what you see in the film, and what a lot of people ask me about is in the last game, you know, Isaac is playing against a kid who is clearly much older and bigger than him. And so you'll see, like, say, our senior sledge hockey team, a lot of those people have been playing together for, you know, over a decade on mm-hmm. the same teams, and come up together. And you know, they're a family, and they travel a lot together, and they spend a lot of time together, and it's a bit different than able-bodied sport. It's just there's so many people involved, and in the sledge hockey world, there's a lot less people involved. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have teams with, you know, from 8-year-olds playing 17-year-olds, and other times you have players that play together for 20 years. It's an interesting and unique aspect of para sports.
Like the age sort of is less strict.
Yeah, it's, and you know, like on our team in the tournament, there's 9 players, 2 of them are able-bodied, you know, and there's able-bodied players on other teams, and it's like Isaac has his sister, there's other siblings at play, and it's great, and it creates a really cool atmosphere, but it's also necessary, because there's just not that many kids that can play the sport, you know, in Winnipeg, for instance. Mm-hmm. So you also need able-bodied kids to come and participate.
And it looks like you got to be, like, buff, like, to pull yourself around on those.
Yeah, you need a bit of power, like, and it's really, it depends. It depends on how heavy you are. If you're lighter, you don't need as much. But, yeah, I mean, I play a tournament every year. We play, we're with the kids, and the parents have a team. And we'll play the four games in a weekend. And by the fourth game, like, if I fall over, it's really hard to push myself back up. Like, it's it's extremely tiring on your muscles, and it's a bit frustrating because the kids are just such better skaters than you are, and they just kind of walk around you and laugh at you. And my son loves it. It's his favorite game every year. I think there's more trash talking in that game than any other.
And one last question for you. How did you decide you wanted to center the film around that tournament in particular?
Well, initially, it was another tournament, which was very small, and it was in this little barn of an arena, and it was really quaint, and it was different but wonderful in different ways, and in its smallness and its intimacy. But when we went to Minneapolis, it just, like, it's the biggest ice hockey facility in the world. There's 10 sheets of ice, you know. It's like,
oh, wow.
And we were in Fargo, which was Fargo is fun, it's a nice town, but then you go to Minneapolis, where, you know, it's a thriving metropolis, you know? So it was just made the trip way bigger, and for the kids, it made the tournament way more important. And it just took on, and there, you know, there was a banquet attached to it, and there's all this other, you know, other periphery things that just made it such a big deal for us. And it seemed like, obviously, that would be the one to do.
So we have some, we were told Isaac would want to be asked some questions.
That's possible. Yeah, I could go see. He's just watching screen right now in the other room. Hey, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions from the radio show. You want to be up for it?
Hi, we just saw your movie. We thought it was amazing.
Thank you.
We're wondering sort of, like, how long have you been in this sport, and how did you get into it?
6 years now. And we saw a game that a friend invited us to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really cool, so we said, start playing.
So have you watched the film? And if you did watch the film, what did you think about it?
Well, I've seen, they've edited stuff, so it's basically like movies. So I've seen like basically every movie, mm-hmm. even though it's just one movie, but I've seen all of it.
Seen several versions now.
Yeah. So
what did you think? Okay, what the conversation with Danny Lilia? What did you think of that? How did that go?
It was really cool because I hadn't met him before and I'd seen his videos a couple thousand times. But that was real. And every time I see that, I cringe because I was nervous when that happened. So I'm just like, every time I see that, I don't know what it is, but I'm like, oh God. Every time I see that.
So what were your first thoughts when your dad asked you to be in this documentary?
Well, technically he didn't ask me, but, like, he did it, and I didn't even know it was going to be, like, this big, like, it would be on NFB. I just thought it would be, like, one of his regular documentaries. But, like, there was a bunch of camera people, so I was pretty okay with it.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to participate in that film. Like, your energy brought a lot to it, and your, like, sort of ability to perform was great.
Thank you.
So why, in your opinion, should people watch this film?
It's awesome, and they should know more about sledge hockey.
Yeah.
All right, so when I watched the film, I thought you guys played awesomely. That was very impressive, especially against the much bigger kids in that last scene.
Oh my god, that was heartbreaking. One of
that was very impressive.
Our goalie actually got like a shot to the neck.
Oh my gosh.
It didn't get it on camera, but it shot like through his neck guard.
Wow.
And like his dad was like behind the bench, like, what's going on? And we were like, what is going on? But like he seemed like he was okay, and we were like, okay, man. But but they went to a doctor after that, and if it was like an inch, higher, he would have died. And I was like,
that is crazy.
That's what Paul said.
I think you might have exaggerated a bit.
So how much do you guys practice and train for each game?
Well, in Minnesota, we don't really practice.
Before
that, yeah, we practiced pretty hard. Especially now that that team came in, we were like, okay, we need to practice. Everybody was just like, we practiced once a week, but like we had to practice extra hard when those guys came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, like, they're huge.
Yeah, huge. But luckily they came into a different division this year after this tournament, and then we got second place again, but
still good.
And they apparently lost all their games in the other division, so
yeah. Thank you to both of you for making this and then for talking to us about it. It's been a real pleasure to hear more about how this came about.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, welcome back to All Access Pass. The interview you just heard was from Sam Vint, the director of the tournament, and his son Isaac, who starred in the short documentary.
One thing that really struck me about Isaac here in this film is that in addition to being really an athlete in the sense of physically performing a sport, he is also really in tune with broader sort of sport culture. He's here to play and he's here to win. And really, we can't underestimate the body weight to power ratio involved in propelling oneself using arms and shoulders, even on an ice surface. Like, these kids are jocks. Beyond this, I think what this film makes especially apparent is how being on a sledge hockey team is a deeply communal way of being. The sledge hockey tournament builds relationships, it strengthens confidence, it tells stories about what people value and how they choose to work together. Walking away from this film and seeing what these kids have done and what they have made this tournament into in terms of community building has left me with a lot of admiration for these kids.
I definitely agree with you, and I felt like I learned a lot from watching this film. In particular, I thought it was really well shot, and the camera angles used during the actual tournament gave a really close-up image of what being a sledge hockey athlete during a game is like, and the kind of moves that they have to execute on the ice. I know here in Canada, we love our ice sports, and it was cool to see what a huge sledge hockey event was like. And as Sam said during the interview, this is the one time a year where these players are in the majority, and the community and camaraderie between the members of the Manitoba Sledgehammers with each other and the rival teams really show a sense of character and teamwork. Overall, I really enjoyed the film a lot and would recommend all you listeners out there to go and check it out on nfb.ca.
Seconding that. Well, that wraps up our episode for today. If you are interested in joining or team, or think there is an issue we should bring up on our show, please send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
And please like our All Access Pass Facebook page.
Follow us on Twitter or Instagram, or both @access_CITR.
And if you missed part of our live show today and want to listen again, or maybe you want to listen to one of our past shows, you can do so on citr.ca by going on the search box and typing in All Access Pass.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Stick around for more CITR programming coming up next. Bye, guys. We'll be right back.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I have no idea what that means. Somebody just asked me to say this.
I don't know what to say, knowing you talk. Thought it over every way, you know it'll never stop. Wonder when we'll have a conversation, but I'm always just too busy waiting. It hasn't even happened yet, I feel it has. Which one?